God, that is my prayer. It is that simple. Behold the Lamb of God. That's what I want. That as we read your word, and as I seek to proclaim your word, may we, your people, behold the Lamb. Where we read in the text, he stands trial before Pilate, representing Rome, the superpower, the political power of the day, on a Passover weekend where lambs would be slaughtered, and here is the Lamb of God before Pilate, bearing witness to the truth, what he came to do, to reveal his kingdom. And so, Lord, give us our rightful place as we look on to this story. May we see ourselves in the story and embrace the invitation to behold the Lamb. We pray this in the Lamb's name. Amen. We're in the book of John, chapter 18, verses 28 through the end of the chapter. If you've been with us, you know we're going through the Gospel of John. Jesus has been arrested in the Garden of Gethsemane. There was this kind of hasty trial by the Jewish leaders. They've accused him of blasphemy, and now they need to take him before Pilate in order to have him executed because they can't do it themselves. So that's where we pick up the story. Jesus, abandoned by his disciples, Friday morning that he will be crucified is about between 6 and 8 o'clock in the morning. Then they, the Jewish leaders, led Jesus from the house of Caiaphas to the governor's headquarters. It was early morning. They themselves did not enter the governor's headquarters so that they would not be defiled, but could eat the Passover. So Pilate went outside to them and said, "What accusation do you bring against this man?" They answered him, "If this man were not doing evil, would we not have delivered him over to you?" Pilate said to them, "Take him yourselves and judge him by your own law." The Jews said to him, "It is not lawful for us to put anyone to death." This was to fulfill the word that Jesus had spoken to show what kind of death he was going to die. So Pilate entered his headquarters again and called Jesus and said to him, "Are you the King of the Jews?" Jesus answered, "Do you say this of your own accord, or did others say this to you about me?" Pilate answered, "Am I a Jew? Your own nation and the chief priests have delivered you over to me. What have you done?" Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would have been fighting, and I might not be delivered over to the Jews. But my kingdom is not from this world." Then Pilate said to him, "So you are a king." Jesus answered, "You say that I am a king. For this purpose I was born, and for this purpose I have come into the world, to bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth listens to my voice." Pilate said to him, "What is truth?" After he had said this, he went back outside to the Jews and told them, "I have found no guilt in him. But you have a custom that I should release one man for you at the Passover. So do you want me to release to you the King of the Jews?" And they cried out, "Not this man, but Barabbas." Now Barabbas was a robber. This is the word of the Lord. When I was about 16, I worked in a deli. The owner of the deli was a church member of the church that I attended and grew up in. I would say he was a church member, but he was probably just a nominal Christian, not really a follower of Jesus. Because when I was talking to another coworker at the deli about Jesus, and the owner pulls me aside, and he offered a phrase that I've heard many times since then, but this was the first time I had heard it. He said, there are two things we don't talk about in public. Religion and politics. Now, I've heard that many times since then, and the rule that I broke when I was 16, I broke many more times because I'd like to talk about Jesus to my neighbor. I think we're supposed to do that. But now, this morning, I'm really going to break what he said because I'm going to talk about both religion and politics. Now, everybody's kind of squirming. You're like, really? Like the Sunday before the midterm elections and you're going to talk about politics? No, no, no. I'm not going to talk about that kind of politics. I'd like for us to keep our tax-exempt status. But what I'm talking about when I say politics is that we need to understand what's happening here in the text, is that it is very political. You see, both religion and politics are at play. Jesus has two different trials in John's gospel. One is before the Jewish leaders, a religious trial, and then he has a trial before Pilate, a political trial. And so that's what we're going to look at. We're going to tell the story, make sure that we understand what happens in this trial before Pilate, and then we're going to glean two facts about Jesus' kingdom. Are you ready? This is it. Like, this is where you can like get the big idea and check out if you'd like, but this is it. Christ's kingdom is not from this world, but it is certainly for this world. Christ's kingdom is not from this world, but it is for this world. Let's see how we get to that point by looking at the trial before Pilate. Ready to jump in? Heads, some heads nodding. All right, here we go. So, like we said, it's Thursday all through prayer in the evening, and now he's been arrested in the middle of the night. Friday morning comes, and he's been before the Sanhedrin. This is the 70 plus one Jewish religious leaders, and they have stuck him with a charge of blasphemy, claiming to be God. That's his charge. This is a religious charge, and it's punishable by death. And the type of death is a stoning. Now, this is the conundrum. The Jewish leaders weren't allowed to execute people. So how are they going to get this Jesus guy that they want to off? How are they going to be able to execute him? Only Rome can execute. So what do? They parade Jesus with their trumped-up trial. We know that it's about between 6 a.m. and 8 a.m. because, get this, the religious leaders were so serious about the law that you couldn't issue a capital punishment in the middle of the night. So they waited till the sun comes up, and then they issue this charge of blasphemy against Jesus. But now they can't kill him, right? So they parade him over to Pilate, to Pilate's headquarters. Okay, you ready? A next scene of how sticklers they were to the law, but totally missing the point. They come up to Pilate's, his quarters. Pilate's a Gentile. He represents Rome. They can't go in on the weekend of Passover. God forbid they go into a Gentile's presence, become defiled for 7 days, and they don't get to participate in the Passover because they were busy executing the Son of God. So they hang back from Pilate's quarters. Pilate accommodates, and he comes out to them. He says, what are the charges? And they go, did you notice in the text, they never say what the charges are. They try to like skirt the issue. They're like, because remember, sorry, I didn't say this part. Pilate can't execute Jesus for a religious reason. Rome stays out of the Jewish rules. So they need to have a political reason for Jesus to be executed. You get this. They can't do it. They need Rome to do it. And they don't have the right charge for him to be executed. So they kind of skirt the issue. They're like, okay, well, we wouldn't have brought him here if he didn't do something bad. Like, what? You figure it out, Pilate. So he accommodates, he takes Jesus in this back and forth, and what happens is now it's going to shift from a stoning to a crucifixion. See, the Jews would never crucify someone because anyone who hangs on a tree is cursed. But this is what it says, when Jesus knew the way in which he would die, he would be handed over to the Gentiles, that he would become a curse for us. And so when you think of all the little lambs that are running around Jerusalem at this time, being prepared to be slaughtered on the Passover weekend, here is Jesus, the Lamb of God, before Pilate, being prepared for the slaughter. But what's the charge going to be? The charge is not blasphemy, but if he's claiming to be God, then he's claiming to be the Messiah. So they actually get him on a political charge that he's claiming to be the king of the Jews. Ah, you see, now if he's a king of the Jews, then this is something against Rome. Because now you're saying, wait, if you're the king of the Jews, what about Caesar? He's supposed to be king. We can get Jesus for treason. So now we've talked about religion, now we're talking about the politics side. The conversation that Jesus has with Pilate kicks off with the charge. Are you the king of the Jews? Now, king and kingdom language is all through this conversation. You know, 7 times the word king or kingdom appears in this text. 7 times. Now picture poor Jesus. I say poor, I mean materially poor. Right, he spent his entire ministry in Galilee, kind of podunk country, kind of a no-name place. He had 12 ragtag followers of deadbeat fishermen, tax collectors, has-beens, misfits, wash-ups, and they've all scattered. And now here is Jesus standing before the governor of Judea, and he looks at him and says, "Are you... You're the king of the Jews?" Jesus says, "Who's asking? Are you asking or are those religious leaders asking?" Pilate says, "Am I a Jew? What does it matter? You're not my king," as he looks at him. And that's when Jesus says, "My kingdom is not of this world. Oh, if I needed people fighting, I could have them fighting, and I never would have been handed over into the Jews' hands. No, no, no. My kingdom isn't like that. It's not that kind of sword against sword in order to be established. My kingdom is not from around here." Pilate, all he picks up on is the word king, and he goes, "Ah, so you are a king then." Jesus says, "Well, it is as you say. I was born for this purpose. I have come into the world to bear witness to the truth. And everyone who listens to me hears the truth." Do you hear the invitation in this? Jesus isn't trying to get off the hook. Jesus isn't appealing for some kind of acquittal. Jesus isn't pleading for mercy. He's standing before the very man who will issue him to be crucified. And he's not worried about trying to get out of the situation. He cares about Pilate's heart. "I'm truth, if you'll listen to me." He's saying, "Get out of the role of judge and come behind me into the role of follower. Get out of the role of governor and come under me as I am the king of all creation." Poor Pilate, he just responds with, "Truth? What's truth?" You realize the irony? Like, that's his job. Like, he's the judge in this trial. What's truth? You're the one that's supposed to be figuring that out, Pilate. That's irony number one. Irony number two is, what's truth? He's standing in front of you. "I am the way, the truth, and the life." For the first time ever, you're looking truth square in the eyes. And you go, "What's truth?" So he goes out to the religious leaders again and he says, "I find no guilt in this man, but I recognize you want him dead, and so would you like me to set this man free, the king of the Jews?" He gives them an opportunity to say, "Yes, this is our king, let him go." And what do they say? They'd rather have Barabbas instead. This should break all of our hearts. Because here are a people who have sung psalm after psalm after psalm waiting for the Jewish king, waiting for the Messiah, waiting for the Christ to come. Here are people that have a history, thousands of years of telling stories of the long-awaited Messiah. Here are a people that still to this day, when they celebrate Passover, will pour a cup, leave an open chair, and open the front door so that the Messiah will come. Here, he has come to them in the flesh, and they will say, "We have no king but Caesar. Jesus is the king in this story. Pilate misses it. The religious leaders reject it. What about us? What do we gain from this? We gain that Jesus Christ is our king, and his kingdom is not of this world, but it is certainly for this world. And those are the two truths that I want to unpack. That his kingdom is not of this world, but it is certainly for this world. It's not from this world. Did you catch what Jesus is saying here? He never denies that he's a king. He never says that that his kingdom has nothing to do with this world. It absolutely has things to do with this world, but it's not from this world. Its origins, its character, its quality is not like anything you're going to see around here. Do you notice that? He says specifically, my servants would have been fighting. We could have used swords if we wanted to, but that's not this kind of kingdom. Can I put it in my preacher part of me wants to have alliteration, so I'll put it in three T's. His kingdom isn't about tyranny, territory, or taxes. It's not about power, political power. It's not about geography, and it's not about money. You see, that's all Pilate can think about, right? Political power, tyranny. How can you pass along that he has control? And what Jesus is saying is, sure, yeah, the midterm elections might be in 2 days, but you're never going to vote. We don't vote Jesus into power. He's not that kind. He doesn't come into being and power because of a majority vote or swords clashing. He's not going to be on the ballot. I haven't looked. Some of you have voted early. I don't think he's on the ballot. But territory, he's not about geography. It's not about having a specific land. It's not from this world. It's the king of heaven and earth, right? There's no boundaries or borders. It's not land to fight for, and it's certainly not money. It's not taxes, and that's Pilate's thinking, how can you get more and have wealth? And this isn't what it's about. God doesn't need your money. Like, whoa, Pastor, you know it's Pledge Sunday. You probably shouldn't say things like God doesn't need your money, but he doesn't. It's not from this world. What is it? It's from God to us for this world. He's a different kind of king from a different kind of place, but he's for this place, and he's for us. We pray, thy kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. We want the kingdom of God to break in. Jesus says, for this reason I was born, for this very reason I came into the world, that you might know the truth. Now, when he says truth, don't think that this is like truth versus falsehood. What he means, anytime John puts truth on the lips of Jesus, what he's talking about is reality. He's saying, I came so that you may know the real God. You may know the real substance. If you want to know who the Father is, look at the Son. It's him in all his glory displayed for you. Right here, standing before you, Pilate, this is God revealed to you. This is truth. That the heavenly reality is revealed in Jesus Christ. And so what's being offered here to Pilate isn't head knowledge of a fact, but it's heart knowledge of a relationship that you can get to know God and his kingdom as it unfolds here on earth. I shared this with the 9 o'clock service. I want to share it here as well. Because I think we get the truth triangle, we get the revelation triangle upside down these days. You've heard of the food pyramid, right? And what you're supposed to eat the most of is at the bottom, right? And then at the very top is like sugar, you know, like avoid these things, right? Food pyramid. There's a truth pyramid. There's a revelation pyramid that I think our world and sometimes Christians have turned upside down. Do you know what's at the very bottom of the truth pyramid? The Bible, God's word. Do you know what we often call it? The daily bread. Eat it. Consume it. Meditate on it day and night. This is truth. This is the specific and special revelation of God for us, right? The next rung up on the truth pyramid, I would probably say church and relationships and fellow saints that we can rub shoulders together and gain wisdom and have truth revealed in our midst together as we pray and serve and work. Next up on the rung is nature. Notice I haven't said anything about the internet yet. Next up, I would say, is nature. That you can learn more from a tree if you stand before it and ask God, show yourself to me, than you'll ever find out on Twitter about God. Creation, beauty, art. Next up on the pyramid, I would say, are books. Read broad, read deep, go back in history. And then maybe at the very top, you know, right where sugar is, you can dabble in the internet, Google, Wikipedia. And then at the very teeny-tiny top is social media. What's your diet like? The truth revealed in Jesus Christ. Don't turn the pyramid upside down. But truth has come to us to reveal his kingdom. Therefore, what Jesus has to offer is for this world. The truth, the revelation. So run through those T's again. Tyranny, territory, taxes, our politics, our land, our money. What if we were to approach those things, not that the kingdom comes from those things or belongs to those things, but that Jesus Christ might be revealed in those things? What if we prayed over the election that God's justice would reign? What if we prayed over our religious leader or our political leaders that Christ's mercy would be on display? What if our country was known for our love and our compassion? Think about territory, land. Jesus didn't come for soil, he came for souls. What about the way that we treat people, the compassion that we have? Are people seeing Christ in us? Are they seeing the truth revealed? What about our money? God doesn't need your money. God doesn't need you. God wants you. God wants you. And get this, when you come under Christ's reign, all of a sudden, he's revealed through you. Guess what? If he's got all of you, he's got your wallet too. How'd that happen? Because I gave all of me to you, Lord. That's how. This is why when we offer our pledges this morning, I challenge people to give till it hurts. Put yourself in such a financial situation that you're giving so much that you're like, you have to sacrifice. That it actually becomes a spiritual discipline where you go, Lord, I had to cut something out, or things got tight. I had to depend on you more. And instead of going, my precious, to your belongings, you hear Jesus say over you, you are my precious, and you go, fine, have it, take it all, take me, take everything about me. God's kingdom is not of this world, it is for this world. And so the invitation is for you. Pilate missed it. The Jewish leaders rejected it. But the invitation in verse 37 stands for you. Everyone who is of the truth listens to my voice. Friends, will you join me in going from being the judge to coming and being a follower of Jesus? Will you join me in trying to be the governor of your little sphere of influence here on earth to submitting to the kingdom of God and to Christ our King? Then join me at his kingdom feast for citizens of his heavenly kingdom. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, amen.